Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, let's talk Jalen Nowell and Taurean Prince, a couple of fringe members of the Timberwolves rotation who took their turns in and out of the rotation throughout the season. Let's break down their seasons in context of what expectations were, what we can look for this upcoming year, and will both of them be on the team? It's all coming up on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked On Wolves. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I am the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Watched some NBA playoff action. Of course, a lot going on throughout the playoffs. Today on the show, plenty to talk about. We're continuing our player review series for the season, so we'll get into that here in just a minute. First, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked On Wolves. Of course, you can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves, and my account, which is at BBeacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so last week we started our player review series. And we started at the, basically what I did is I sorted the roster by minutes played, started from the bottom, working my way up towards the players, you know, the Timberwolves big three, I guess, will be the final three that we cover. So the first show, we talked about Nate Knight, Leandro Bolmaro, and then some quick Greg Monroe, Jake Layman, McKinley Wright notes. And then the show on Friday, I spent some time talking Josh Okogie and Jordan McLaughlin. Today, we'll talk about the ninth and 10th players in terms of minutes played on the Timberwolves roster. We'll talk about Jalen Nowell here in a minute, and then also Taurean Prince on today's show. Later in the week, we'll get to some of the guys who, you know, the big three and the rest of the starters, the regular starters for the Wolves. Hoping to have a couple of guests on to discuss some of those players and what the outlook, basically the lens that I'm doing this through is, how did each player perform based on what expectations were this season? What was their contribution to the Timberwolves largely successful year by almost any account, right? Even if it did come to a disappointing finish, I think it's hard to say that this year was anything but a large step in the right direction, a successful year for the Wolves. So how did each player individually contribute to that, and how did they perform compared to their expectations for themselves as an individual player? Also, what's the contract situation? What's the likelihood they're on the team next year, and what would expectations be for the 22-23 season? So today, I want to start with Jalen Nowell. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know, going all the way back almost a year and a half now, really kind of the middle of the season. I guess you could even go back to the COVID shortened season, the first one, but really the shortly before Ryan Saunders was fired in early 2021 was kind of when I got onto Jalen Nowell's soapbox. I always thought Jalen Nowell was better than what he showed as a rookie, what he even showed in the G League, what I think the general expectation was for him. Remember, he was Pac-12 Player of the Year just a couple of years ago. The Timberwolves, he was the leading scorer in the Pac-12 Player of the Year. The Timberwolves drafted him in the second round. And Gerson Rosa signed him to basically the same deal he signed Naz Reid to. Naz, of course, was undrafted. Jalen Nowell, second round pick. But basically, a three-year deal that was only partially guaranteed. And it was more than, but it had a guarantee, which a lot of second round picks don't get. Of course, they don't automatically get a guaranteed contract like a first rounder. So it was a deal that was a plus for Jalen Nowell. It was a big plus for the Timberwolves because if he performed well at all, the Wolves would have a bargain on their hands. He didn't do much his rookie year. He didn't shoot the ball well when he was given the opportunity at the NBA level. And because of the weird shortened season, he didn't play in the G League. That season he did play the G League. Last year, he didn't. It was rookie season, he did. He didn't shoot the ball well at the NBA level, though, when he played at the NBA level. He played in what? As a rookie, he played in 15 games, shot 11% from three. It was 3 of 26 when he got the chance at the NBA level. But in the G League, he shot the ball great, 43.6% from deep. Everybody knew he could score based on what he did in college and based on what he did in the G League. Again, those college numbers when he was the Pac-12 Player of the Year were really impressive. I had him. Here they are. His second year, he only played 2 years at Washington. His second year, he shot 44% from three and over 50% from the field as a guard. And could initiate offense, could score at all three levels, showed that in the G League as well in his age 20 season, his first year in the NBA after being drafted, or first year as a pro, I should say, but was not good at the NBA level. The first few chances he got last year in the 2021 season, kind of the same thing. It just wasn't impressive. And at the same time, you could tell that everybody should have known he was a better three-point shooter based on the 44% in college, the 44% in the G League. 43.6% in the G League. And then we finally started to see some of that mid-season last year, the 2021 season, shortly before Ryan Saunders was fired. He had an opportunity to play due to some injuries from other players. I think it was right around when D'Angelo Russell got injured, the knee injury that required surgery eventually last season. And Noel played well. And I got on my soapbox on this podcast when I was writing over at Dunkin' with Wolves saying, hey, Jalen Noel needs to be in this rotation. The Wolves aren't as good offensively as they should be. He can score at all three levels. We know he's a better three-point shooter than the 11% he shot on a really small sample size as a rookie in the NBA. He needs to be playing more often than he is. And sure enough, he got that opportunity towards the end of last season, right before Saunders was fired, and then again towards the end of the regular season under Chris Finch. And Noel was very good offensively again. The concern was he wasn't a good defender, and that was a concern going back to what he did at Washington. Remember, there were basically the defense that they played. It was hard to tell if guys were good on ball. They play a lot of zone. The way that they play defense at the University of Washington, some similar concerns with Jaden McDaniels. Obviously, McDaniels is a good NBA defender, but he also went to Washington, and there were some concerns with him coming out. Could he defend at the NBA level? Now, McDaniels is a good NBA defender. Jalen Noel still is not, but that was a big question mark for him. The reason why he should have gotten on the floor, though, is he showed so much offensively, the ability to get to the rim, the comfort, and also efficiency to score in the mid-range. Again, efficiently. It's not easy to be an efficient mid-range scorer, but Noel's so good when he gets to the elbows and thereabouts that it's hard to ignore that he's just a really good player when he gets there. And there always was going to be higher level three-point shooting than what we saw. Remember, 3 of 26 as a rookie. Last year, 2021... as a 21-year-old, his second year in the league. Remember, the first 2 years were both COVID-shortened. The first year on the back end of the season, the next year was just a shortened, condensed season. He shot just 33.3% on 150 attempts at the NBA level last season. But we all should have known, and I said on this podcast, I thought there was more. I talked a lot last season. I thought he should play more. I talked in the fall that I said I thought he would be a rotation guy. I went on the Locked On NBA show with Josh Lloyd. I went on Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd back in the fall. And Josh asked me for a player that I thought would be the ninth or 10th guy in the rotation, maybe a sleeper for fantasy purposes. And I said Jalen Noel, and Josh, who does a fantastic job, was basically like, hey, I mean, he's a good stat stuffer if they get injuries. He did well last year when there were injuries. And I said, no, I think he can score at the NBA level. I think people are sleeping on Jalen Noel. Sure enough, he got his opportunity early in the season, and he did not disappoint. I want to talk a little bit about what his production level actually was in the context of why it was so impressive this season. And then we'll talk about what I think he could be next year. And then we'll get to Taurean Prince. So we're going to do all that still on the show here today. First, though, let's talk about our title sponsors of today's show. And that, of course, is our friends at BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, and of course, hopefully you headed over there for the Kentucky Derby this past weekend. NBA lines, by the way, super interesting to see the Warriors-Grizzlies series, which of course is the Memphis is of course the higher seed, but for all intents and purposes, Golden State, even with the injury now to Gary Payton II, a lot of people think Golden State will win this series, and there's a lot of reasons to think they will. It's super interesting to watch those lines shift back and forth as the series goes home and road. That, to me, is the most fascinating series of all of them. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're officially getting into draft season. Again, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen, but a show to consider making your second listen would be Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and the author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock drafts, player rankings, and of course, Big Boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out Locked On NBA Big Board. All right, let's talk a little more Jalen Noel. So Jalen got some rotation minutes in the fall, played more as the season went on, there was that stint kind of mid-season, right around the time, I guess a little before COVID kind of hit the team, and then certainly during and after, where he played quite a bit. You look at his game log, and again, went from not being a rotation guy, and then COVID starts to hit the team in December. He plays heavy minutes. He had that monster game against the Celtics. Remember, Greg Monroe signed earlier in that day. And then after the game was like, honestly, I don't even know who that is. Like, I had no idea who he was. Glad he's on our team. That was literally what the post-game interview looked like with Greg Monroe. Jalen Noah had 29 points in that game, made 6 threes. And he went on to score double figures in basically, it was like 8 of the next 12 games or something like that. And remained part of the rotation until early February. Even after guys came back from COVID, the Timberwolves, Chris Finch found a way to keep him in the rotation. Went through another stint where he wasn't. He got back in the rotation in March. Had a decent March, wasn't quite as efficient offensively, and the defense never quite got back to where he had, you know, what he had been doing for a little while. The defensive effort level had been much higher when he was getting rotation minutes this year than it had been in his first couple seasons in the league. He finished the season not playing in five of the final 6 games. He basically wasn't in the rotation and played sparingly in the playoffs. That was actually in the playoffs. He didn't play in five of the six playoff games. The only game he played in was game 2, which was the blowout loss. And the Timberwolves tried to find some offensive rhythm, put him in the game, and then he played garbage time in that game. He was 0-5 outside the arc. It was the only game he played in the playoffs. But he was kind of a fringe rotation guy a little bit more down the stretch in the season. He had a DNP CD mixed in there as well, and wasn't quite the regular, you know, the cog in the rotation like he was earlier in the year. However, he showed that he can score at the NBA level, and he was pretty efficient, 47.5% from the field. He was over 52% on 2-point attempts, 39.4% on 3-point attempts. Shot free throws at just under 80% clip. The free throw rate was pretty good, 0.223. I mean, given the style of play, and he's far more comfortable pulling up from the mid-range, shooting from 8 to 14 feet, something like that, than he is actually getting all the way to the rim, but he can get to the rim. The assist rate was impressive. He played actually quite a bit of point guard this season. Due to some of the injuries, Jordan McLaughlin wasn't always in the rotation. We talked about him the other day. There was a stretch where he wasn't in the rotation at all, and Noel was. Jalen Noel was asked to initiate some offense. He was the backup point guard for stretches this year and did a really good job with that. He kept the turnover rate extremely low. His assist rate was over 20%. The turnover rate was only 7.4%. So fantastic job taking care of the ball. Still a relatively high usage player, and that's part of the reason he doesn't turn it over that much, is because when he has the ball in his hands, he gets a shot up more than he does, you know, truly initiate. Although, again, the assist rate was pretty good at over 20% for a guy that wasn't a full-time point guard. The three-point rate was where you'd want it to be, just a hair under 40. Essentially, 39% of his shots were three-point attempts. Again, free throw rate pretty good. True shooting percentage over 58%. An efficient offensive performance. The defense still wasn't great, but it was certainly improved on where it was a year ago. We've seen him make strides. And this sort of a blitzing high wall pick and roll defensive scheme is conducive to having guys who generally aren't great one-on-one defenders, generally aren't super switchable, aren't going to fight through screens very well, which is why there's a lot of similarities between Jalen Noel and D'Angelo Russell in that regard. In fact, I think Jalen Noel is kind of a pretty solid mix. I said this early in the year, my best comp for him, he's like a hybrid between D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards. Absolutely not the athlete that Anthony Edwards is, not as dynamic. But he's also not quite as, his game is much more like D'Angelo Russell. He's not quite the passer that D'Lo is, and he's certainly not the athlete that Anthony Edwards is, but he can score in the mid-range like both, and especially D'Lo can. He can get to the rim more like D'Lo than Ant does, but he is more comfortable getting to the rim than D'Lo. But he's also very comfortable shooting off the bounce. Catch and shoot numbers are great for Jalen Noel as well. It's like a perfect mix kind of between D'Lo and Ant, which is why he's best cast as a secondary playmaker, right? He's best off the ball, which is, in my opinion, where D'Lo is best too, but has the ability to initiate, to create some offense, to be your secondary playmaker if that's how the situation presents itself. So Jalen, to me, is that perfect mix between those two, which is why he can work as like a microwave type scorer off the bench, because he's got that in him, but he can also run some offense. He can also just be a catch and shoot guy, hang out in the corner, pump fake and drive and get into the mid-range and be really comfortable shooting a difficult mid-range shot that D'Lo loves those so much. He's a really good mid-range shooter. Jalen Noel is, and so is D'Angelo Russell in general too. But Jalen Noel from 10 to 16 feet for his career is 55.3%. He was a hair over 50% this year. Last year, he was 62% between 10 and 16 feet. He is deadly. Even with a hand in his face, he's basically a walking bucket. He can score the basketball. The biggest issue continues to be defense. However, I think he's a rotation guy at the NBA level. I truly believe he can be that kind of lightning scorer off the bench. I think he probably deserves a little bit of a longer leash in terms of minutes played. And perhaps we'll get that next season. He will be on the team because the contract is phenomenal. Still, there's a team option for next year. The Wolves will obviously pick it up. He's only making $1.9 million. Same with Naz Reid. $1.9 million next year is it for Jalen Noel. And he's absolutely somebody when he hits unrestricted free agency the next summer of 23, he's going to get a deal. I mean, he's going to get an actual contract. He's not going to be nobody's scraping the bottom of the barrel for Jalen Noel. Somebody's going to give him money to be a rotation guy. I truly believe he's that dynamic of a scorer. And I think the Wolves should give him the opportunity to earn some of those minutes again this year. And again, Chris Finch did a much better job of doing that. And Noel did get some opportunity this year, but he still finished, 10th on the team in minutes played. I think he deserves better than that. I think he deserves more of a spot in the rotation moving forward. And this is his contract year. This is his opportunity to prove himself for his next contract. But I love Jalen Noel. I think he's an unsung, a bit of an unsung player. I think he needs a little bit more attention for how dynamic he can be offensively. And if he improves that defense incrementally again this year, then there's no argument. He has to be in the rotation regularly. And it's probably still off the bench, but he has that six-man microwave type scorer ability. And I think the minutes need to reflect that moving forward. Okay, let's talk about Taurean Prince. That's how we'll close the show today. Taurean, of course, the Wolves traded for him this last offseason. He was acquired in that Ricky Rubio deal. The Wolves actually got Prince and a second rounder back for Ricky Rubio. At the time, I said in a vacuum, I thought Ricky Rubio was the better player, but Taurean Prince would be a better fit for the Timberwolves this year. And I'll kind of revisit why I said that and also why that was definitely true. What Prince's year looked like and what the chances are he could actually be back next year, although he is an unrestricted free agent. So we're going to do that all next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. Summer is almost here. With summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so that you're fueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars is that they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order now. All Built Bars and Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means that with Built Bar, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. If you haven't tried Built Puffs, you need to try them. They're fantastic. They taste like dessert. And they're only about 140 calories, Built Puffs are. And if that's not enough flavor, you could try the Mix Box. There's 12 different flavors of both regular Built Bars and Puffs. Most Built Bars have just 130 calories. Again, the Puffs only have 140. 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to your average candy bar, which typically has 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Go to Built.com and get all your favorites, banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate, and so many more. They're all delicious, and new flavors are coming out all the time. Check them out at Built.com. Again, Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. I use it every couple of weeks. I order Built Bars and use that promo code. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's talk about Taurean Prince. So when the Wolves acquired Taurean, I guess it was in August of last year, and I said at the time, I thought in a vacuum, Rubio is the better player. The Wolves got a second-round pick out of the deal. But when all the dust had settled, the Wolves eventually had acquired Patrick Beverley essentially for free. They'd given up Juancho Hernan Gomez, who was then passed around from like three different teams. He went from Memphis to Boston to San Antonio to Utah. And then Jarrett Culver, who sat on the end of the bench, was like the 11th guy for Memphis basically all season. And the Timberwolves got Patrick Beverley, and now since then they've extended him, and Pat Bev will be on the team again next year for a relatively modest $13 million. And everybody knows what Patrick Beverley did to impact the Wolves. And I think that we have to talk about Pat Bev when we talk about Taurean Prince, because the Wolves replaced their backup point guard in Ricky Rubio with Taurean Prince and with Patrick Beverley, right? So the Wolves sent out Juancho, Jarrett Culver, Ricky Rubio and got back Torian Prince, Patrick Beverley, and a draft pick. They won that swap, right? I mean, Rubio obviously ended up tearing his ACL, but he was a great fit in Cleveland. They were a great story this year. Tragic what happened to Ricky. I mean, a fantastic year for him until he got hurt, was scoring the ball again, all that stuff that he didn't look comfortable doing in Minnesota. So he played well for Cleveland. Prince was fine. I mean, he struggled early. His shooting was horrific in October, November, December. He was like under 20 or right around 20% from three until he got absolutely flaming hot in January. He actually finished the season right above his career average in three-point shooting, 37.6% from three. But the Wolves swapped out a non-shooter in Jarrett Culver, a player who couldn't make threes as a Timberwolf in Ricky Rubio, frankly, and a guy who was struggling from three as well and didn't fit the roster as well in Juancho Hernan Gomez, for a guy who had shot 40-plus percent the year before in Torian Prince and for his career 37%, and Patrick Beverley, who is kind of an under-the-radar good three-point shooter on relatively low volume, but a 37-38% guy. So you're bringing in two guys that should be above league average, and you're sending out two guys that are well below league average in threes in Culver and Rubio. They're just better fits for the roster. Beverley can be that spot-up three-point shooter to help spread the floor. Ricky Rubio is never that threat. And if you leave them open, Beverly's going to make you pay more often than Ricky Rubio does. Yes, you're giving up a little bit in terms of passing ability, but you're gaining, obviously, in Beverley, the team leadership. The defense is Rubio's a good defender, but he's a much better team defender. Beverley's good on ball and off ball. He's a good team defender and a good individual defender. As for Prince, it was the smallest role he's had since he was a rookie. He only averaged 17 minutes a game for Minnesota. It was the first year in his career he'd been below 22 minutes a game since his rookie season in Atlanta way back in the 16-17 campaign. And Torian, again, started the year struggling from beyond the arc. But as the year went on, the Wolves actually empowered him to do a little bit more off the bench in terms of trying to create and find some of his own offense. The usage rate was a little higher than I would have expected for a guy that was kind of billed as a 3-and-D guy. Still his lowest usage rate of his career. But he had the opportunity to do some things with the ball in his hands. The Wolves ran some possessions through him coming off the bench, which was kind of strange. But for the most part, he ended up being really good. He kind of split his minutes evenly between the three and the four, has the ability to play the small ball four. I think he's still a little bit overrated in terms of his own individual on-ball defense, but he's a really good team defender and fits the Wolves' defensive scheme really well because of his length, his aggressiveness, his toughness. He can play that high wall blitzing scheme, and he is switchable. Even if I think he's a little overrated individually, defensively, he can switch. He can guard threes and fours, and he can even guard most twos effectively. And so he fits this roster extremely well. Is it a spot you could upgrade? Sure. There's guys who are better than Torian Prince that you could get. I mean, remember, Torian Prince, what did he make this year? Like $15 million? A little over $15 million, I believe. I'm going to find the exact number. Yeah, just over $15 million this year. He signed that extension with the Nets prior to last season. Then it was traded to the Cavs midseason, and obviously traded to the Wolves in the offseason. He's not going to make that much in his next deal. He's now going to be 28 years old next year. But could he end it back with the Wolves? It sounds like he wants to be. He said postseason after the season, Prince said he wanted to be back in Minnesota. He wanted to be part of what the team's building. The Wolves just tweeted out a picture of him at the Lynx game, I think just on like Saturday or Sunday. So he's still in town, apparently, and it sounds like he wants to be around the team. I don't know if the Wolves are going to have the ability to retain him if he come back on the mid-level exception or what that's going to look like. I do think it's a role the Wolves could upgrade. But at the right price, Torian Prince is still a good player, worthy of rotation minutes, and you could argue he had his best season of his career with Minnesota this year. I know that he had higher scoring years with Atlanta way back, you know, a few years ago, and even had a couple of better seasons in terms of his three-point shooting percentage. But in the role he was in Minnesota as a switchable, versatile defender and a 3-and-D type guy, run a little bit of bench offense through him, I think he was effective, and he fit the role well. So again, at the right price, he could be back. But he is one of the Timberwolves' very few unrestricted free agents this offseason. It's entirely possible he doesn't return. In fact, before the Prince comments that he wanted to be back, I just assumed he'd be gone. But I guess if there's motivation on both sides, there's a chance he's back. I still think it's more likely than not Torian Prince is wearing a different jersey next season. But again, if the price is right, if they can't upgrade the position, if they don't make a swing a trade where they could actually upgrade it, then I think Prince could end up back at a more modest deal than the $15 million he made last year. Now, because he is going to be 28 years old, he is probably looking for that last multi-year deal where he's going to make, you know, potentially double digits millions per year. I don't think he's worth quite that, but somebody might give him $6-8 million. The Wolves probably aren't going to give him quite that much. My guess is they'll try and get him for 5 or 6, somewhere in that range. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. Again, there's a time and a place for Taurean Prince. He's a good player. He makes sense as your 9th guy or your 8th guy even. But you know, we'll see what the Wolves do in the draft. We'll see what they do on the trade market. We'll see how this all shakes out. But overall, a solid season for Taurean Prince, and certainly the Prince and a pick for Ricky Rubio was a good trade for Minnesota. It's a great swap when you include the Patrick Beverley trade, and I don't think you can talk about one without talking about the other. Again, a good offseason last year for the Wolves. As weird as it was, the way it ended with Gerson Rosas, he did good work last offseason until everything that happened last fall, obviously. But acquiring Taurean Prince was absolutely a win for Minnesota for the 21-22 season. All right. Next, what we'll do on Tuesday's show, we're going to keep going through the roster as we talk through, get into the actual, the guys who played more regularly in the rotation. We'll talk about Naz Reid. We will talk about the other player we mentioned today and Patrick Beverley. And then we'll get into the top six, the starters, plus Jaden McDaniels, Malik Beasley. Those guys will be coming up later this week. And again, hoping to have a couple of guests on to discuss some of those players here as we wrap up the player review series later this week. That's all we have for today here on the show. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And of course, you can find this show anywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. And you can follow yours truly at @bbeacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And thanks again for making us your first listen. A reminder that you can make your second listen Locked On NBA, from the first jump ball of the play-in tournament several weeks ago now to the last possession of the finals, which we're only like 5 weeks away from. Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Again, you can find Locked On NBA anywhere you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.